Hello, hello, this is Stephanie Peterson, and I am here with co-host Oceana LeBlanc, and this is Practical Witchery, where you learn everyday skills to create magic. Today, we are talking about the magic of listening. I am so excited. Oceana, how about you? Are you ready to talk about listening?
I am ready. I was listening very carefully, Stephanie, to every word you just said.
That's so awesome. So awesome. It is such a good time for listening, too. I know we have a super moon coming up, the holidays, lots of time to not listen because we're so frenzied. So it's a perfect time to drop into listening and hear what others have to say. So what do you think?
It really is. It really is. And the thing that I'm loving so much about our show is that every topic we choose, I get to deepen that skill because it's revisiting it. You know, it's like revisiting and focusing the intention on the new practical skill that we're going to talk about and share with everyone. And it really gives me this sense of more groundedness in all of the things that we love so much. And so I was really thinking about this idea of sacred listening and the magic of listening. And it is so powerful. And the thought that came to me was that listening and talking are both sacred practices of equal importance. And out of the two, probably listening is even more powerful because we have, what, two ears and one mouth, right? Mom always said that.
And it is so underutilized as a skill.
It is. Have you ever listened to a debate? You know, a presidential debate. We've had a lot of practical listening to that.
Oh, my. I know.
Recently. Yeah. And it's like most of the time there's, in that kind of scenario, it's all about what am I going to say next? What am I going to say next? And how can I break in and get my point across? Right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, and those of you listening, think about this question as well. When we use the term listening, what are we using? Of course, we're using our ears and we're talking about hearing, but there's more to listening than hearing. So what does listening mean to you, Oceana?
Well, Stephanie, darling, to me, listening is done on many levels simultaneously. So there's listening with the ears, so you hear the words someone's saying, but you're also often listening into the intention behind what someone's saying. So if we only take someone at face value and only listen to the words, then we're not hearing what's under that, what they might be wanting to communicate that they're not actually saying. Also, body language, if you are with someone in person, which is why cell phone, you know, texting and everything, it becomes very, very, I don't even know the word, it becomes chaotic.
Well, one becomes
you're not
lazy.
Actually listening.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, for me, if I only listen to the words someone says and respond simply to that in my relationship, like say in a primary relationship, there can be so much misunderstanding. You know, if you take something somebody says at face value, you know, like, so maybe if I go up, you know, let's see, I'm trying to think of an example, you know, like an example where there can be a lot of misunderstanding when it's really just a simple, you know, we're so used to, like, okay, for instance, how are you doing to get today, honey? My husband might say, and if I say fine, he could just say, oh, she's doing fine, and then go about his business. However,
right.
We know that, you know,
the
if a woman
fine.
Just says fine, there might be something under that, right? So that, but that's where conscious communication comes in. Like, I don't really do that anymore. I used to a long time ago. But some people do, right? It, you know, we're not at that point.
Absolutely.
It's a
some
lot
people
of
love
practice.
Really. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We have our bad days and moments, and we're having a tough time managing life. And so that kind of a communication is an opportunity. You know, perhaps he could say, wow, I heard you say that you're fine, and I feel like there might be something that's bothering you right now. And if there is, I'm so open to hearing, you know, to hearing it. Like, would you like to share with me, do you need anything from me, you know? Like that. And that might open up an opportunity for her to say, well, I'm so upset because I just did the dishes and you just left like 3 dirty dishes in the sink. Why? You could have just put them in the dishwasher. It feels like you didn't notice the effort I put in. Or I'm not upset at you. I'm upset about something that happened and I'm really busy thinking about it. And when you ask me, I don't want to talk right now. I just need some time alone. Or, I mean, whatever it is.
This is interesting, Oceana, because listening is not only hearing what someone says and noticing on many levels what the intent may be, but it's also being willing to know what the person is feeling. Because I think a lot of people and a lot of us, I'll speak for myself, you know, we may very well realize there's something going on with someone, but we don't want to go further because perhaps we don't want to hear it. We are assuming what they're going to say is going to be an attack on us. So we don't, you know, let's not ask him what he's thinking because it's going to turn into some attack on me and it's going to become ugly. Or maybe we realize something's off, but we just don't feel comfortable asking more. So listening is also willing to go a little deeper if on some level we feel it's warranted. I know on certain levels
not every time is opportune. Like, it might not be a time to sit there and really do some eye gazing and deep listening in a safe space. It might be opening yourself for attack, and I think people can feel that and read body language. You know, it's like you can definitely tell when someone is so irritated that if you say something in an effort to be curious about what's underneath what they just said, you're simply kind of like laying belly up to, you know, a verbal assault, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and further, I mean, you might be in a public place or you might be in a place where if a person were to speak more, it would be an invasion of their privacy or would make them uncomfortable.
Right.
So you don't want to have people share in places that don't feel safe. So absolutely.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. And I was thinking also in terms of listening, I was thinking about all the times that I've led like a sacred circle. You know, we do circle communication where you pass the talking stick or the stone and the crystal or some sacred object, and each person that's speaking in that kind of a space actually has a brilliant opportunity to be deeply, deeply heard. And so what happens, like I explain it to my groups, like I do a group of with women, a sacred circle every month, live here at my place. And what I explain to the women is that those listening actually have the most important job in that moment.
Right.
In that moment, they are offering their full undivided attention. And so something extremely magical happens in that practice. Because the person being listened to, the person speaking, there's no crosstalk. No one says anything. They actually get to hear themselves speak, and they have the benefit of feeling completely heard, like completely and totally heard. So most of the time, we're talking to somebody, we're thinking what we're going to say next, if we're not really deeply listening. But in that situation, it's like a training of how to deeply listen to someone and how it feels to be deeply heard. And what I've what I've experienced over the years and years of leading hundreds of women in that type of a space and doing those practices is that it's a catalyst for powerful manifestation. Because women
are
so deeply heard that they begin to transform their lives. And magic, the magic of speaking that vibration and having it received without judgment from universal forces in motion that are just so potent.
I love that. Yeah, I really do. I know in my nutrition practice, it's essential. I spend probably 70% of my time, 75, listening. And you do hear things that aren't said that you would never learn in any other way unless you just were willing to be quiet. And
right.
So
and
let's
both
talk
of us
about
as
that.
Coaches, right. But as coaches, I mean, that's the most important thing that you learn when you become a coach and you're training is the listening is the absolute gift. It's the gift.
Yeah, people need some space. I mean, they literally do need some space before they're willing to unload. So it's essential. But let me ask you this, Oceana. Sometimes, even for us, you might be in a space where you just don't want to listen.
Right.
Ever happened to you?
Right.
So what do you do? Let's talk about us as listeners. What do you do?
Self-care.
Because it's such a restorative practice. What do you do when you don't want to?
Self-care, like you definitely self-care as a goddess, as witches, as goddesses, as women and people who are living intentionally, right? Because intention is everything. We really do have to carve out space where we have our needs met, because if we don't come from a place of being full, we're not able to be fully present. So, like, for me, definitely my magical salt baths are, like, my tangible spiritual practice. I do them several times a week, if not every day, where I sit in the tub. I meditate. I have my candles, my crystals, my aromatherapy. I do my process. I take time out, and I try to eat healthy foods. I try to get outside and connect with nature. Do some yoga. Those become like water and air, like breathing and staying hydrated. Like those two things, without that, like you don't live, right? And spiritually and mentally and emotionally, we have to practice self-care, or we starve ourselves, and then we can't listen to anybody because we're not fully able to be present. We're just, you know, we're not on our game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that, because we've all been in situations with someone who has not had their needs met. And those are the people who tend to just talk and ramble, and they're so needy. We call them needy. And you know, if they just took some time out, they would calm down in real life. Absolutely.
Right. What do
I
you
want to
usually
ask also,
do? What do you think? Oh,
what do
I
do?
Was wondering about your practice.
I'm a kind of a country girl, so I always go outside and just begin walking. It's kind of, if you want to spend a lot of time with me talking and you want to get me talking, or if I want to get one of my kids talking, it's always on foot, walking the streets of Manhattan. We're always out walking. And for me, meditation on foot, it's just what I do. So, absolutely.
That's a great time. Yeah, because usually if you go take a nice hike with somebody, you have wonderful conversations where you really get to break. There's no distractions.
Absolutely. There's no distractions. Yeah. There's something about being side to side and not face to face that helps some people open up when they're, you know, they might be a little confronted if you're face to face. So it's a very different dynamic.
Right. What are some ways,
like,
do you think there's more than one way of listening? Like, what are some listening practices that you enjoy employing? Like, what do you do, people?
Yeah, I really enjoy, and I don't even know how to articulate this, but I know some of you might do this as well. I listen for everything. So I'm hearing them. I'm certainly hearing them. But I get hits, for lack of a better word, in parts of my body about what things could be happening with them, or I get pictures in my brain. For me, that is part of the listening process. So those come as I am listening with my ears. They're very much part. So I really make sure that I'm grounded. I am not distracted with other things, so those can come. If I am distracted, I will just hear the words and I won't get those other hits. And those other hits are usually what give the other person what they need from me. It's very important.
So I'm hearing something in there also about that you're listening not only to the person you're listening to, but you're actually listening to your body and you're listening to your intuition. Simultaneously.
And it could be, Oceana, and it could be, I had always wondered if that were my intuition or if it was actually the person sending me, maybe not consciously, probably not consciously, but sending me information, sending parts of me information about parts of them, as they spoke. It just felt like maybe I was getting messages from their body while their voice was telling my ears things. Does that make sense?
Right.
That sounds odd. But
yeah, absolutely. Well, you feel things, and we are energy, so we're feeling energetically.
All are.
And I think that that's something we call intuition, for lack of better ways to define it. You know, maybe scientifically it has also another explanation, but I think definitely if you're seeing images that are not something someone's described, you know, like say they're saying something and you're suddenly seeing an image in your mind's eye, that's definitely, a psychic sense. It's an intuitive hit. But
the part about
feeling it in your body is something very feminine that I don't think we talk about much, that I'm so curious. I'm so curious, say we're having a conversation and I'm describing something that's going on with me, like where would you feel it? Like, how would you notice that you were feeling something in your body,
really,
and how do you translate it?
That's a good question. So sometimes I'll feel a tightness around my chest. Sometimes I'll feel like a pang in my, uterus. I'll feel something in my leg. And I always make sure that in the conversation, I never say, oh, I just felt a pang in my uterus. You know, is there something going on? Have you seen your, OBGYN recently? I will make sure that we circle back. Tell me more about your last visit to your OBGYN, or tell me about your joints. Tell me about your heart. Any history of this? So I do work it into the conversation. I never want to alarm someone and say, oh my God, I just got this feeling from you. And I never want to do that.
So is that more when you're coaching someone on their nutrition plan, then you feel in your body while they're talking, and that's how sometimes maybe you somatically are like sensing intuitively, really kinesthetically, what's happening with them. And so what you do with that information physically, what you do with that physical information is that you ask more questions. So it kind of gives you a hint of...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
And I do believe, Oceana, and I think that you are very gifted at this as well, as I think curiosity is essential to listening.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the one thing that can help you listen to anyone, even someone who you really, really don't agree with. Getting curious is the one thing that can hold your interest.
Well, because curiosity and assumptions can't really live in the same space, can they? So if we're busy assuming we already know, there's no way to find out more because we've already got a story in our mind and we're reacting to it before we know what the other person actually really has going on. And people do that all the time. It's like, it's what people do, right? Until it actually takes learning conscious communication to stop and be curious and go, maybe I'm telling myself a story about the way that they just said that. But if I stop reacting for a moment, if I don't go into reaction about it, about my story, and I
right.
stop and I ask questions to learn what is that about, then sometimes we're like
right.
delightfully surprised, aren't we? It's like a
oh,
whole different
absolutely.
Story is happening.
Absolutely. You know, and this last election was such an opportunity for me to practice
yeah.
that. It really was. I think for
mm-hmm.
all of us, it was. And what I got from this is there is benefit for all of us who are willing to put away the fear of knowing more. You know, a lot of
yeah.
us are scared to know more about other people. We don't want to be triggered. You know, trigger alert. But if we can put that fear away, we really learn a lot. And in the process of learning, we actually become more powerful in other ways, too. So let's quickly talk a little bit about what's in it for us. Listening, what's in it for us? How is it going to make us better and bigger and manifest things? What's in it for us?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, at the highest level, for me, listening is learning the reflections of the different parts of my shadow. And it becomes a journey into enlightenment. Like at the highest level, we are simply all one. And so all the different aspects of ourselves, all the reflections of the divine are all the different people. And say and animals and you know everything around us. And so when we stop having an agenda, we just quiet the ego. Like we just don't be like a separate thing internally with a survival mechanism in place. And we just stop and pay attention. Then it's really interesting. So at the highest possible level, all we see is love reflected. Honestly, and that's going way up into the eighth chakra now. We're not in the mundane.
Good place to be.
That's just, you know,
yeah.
even the times when people are behaving in ways that your mind is saying they are absolutely out of control, this is inexcusable. But really, if you look at it from an enlightened perspective, they are simply the divine. They're being willing to show us a part of ourselves. And so for that sacrifice of showing us maybe an unsavory part of ourselves, that's the ultimate act of love. So for me, if I can get into that space, then listening is easy because it's like I can't help but just stand there loving people.
Wow. Yeah. I love that. That's really wonderful. That's
and, of
wonderful.
Course, that's
and
only on my really good days, honey, because I'm human like everybody else.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. Yeah, you know, but it strikes me that if one can even do a quarter of that, one will be able to listen for anything. So if you can listen to that, you know, person that has political views that are so different than yours and even offensive to you, and you can sit there and listen and be curious as to how that person became so, you know, enamored of this candidate when you're not. If you can listen to that and get curious, you can hear anything. You can hear
right.
clues. You
right.
can hear manifestation.
Yes.
You can hear direction. You can hear God. You can hear...
Yes.
And because, like you said, God is in all of us. You can hear anything. If you can hear that person, you can hear anything.
Yes. It is the ultimate practice right now because so many people are operating from reaction and trigger. And what the baseline of it is fear, this tremendous wave of fear. And then also, you know, the reactivity and the... You know, even some of the acting out that people are doing because of the election, that is just, you know, painful and, you know, attacking people and, you know, just all of that. That's also coming from a place of fear, ultimately. It's fear of others,
right.
fear of that we are not all one. And so if you can look at that and look at, well, it comes from somewhere very deeply wounded. You know, and from a place of absolute survival, like trying to survive, then you can kind of look through all of it and go, okay, so this is just a boiling point in humanity globally, like right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And it's part of the great drama. And then, you know, you get down into your body, and I think that the most powerful thing we can do is to be open listeners, to acknowledge others, and allow them to express their truth. You know, because when you resist it, it just escalates. It doesn't diffuse.
Right.
And the way to diffuse is to be a really, really, really active listener. And by active, I mean just reflect back lovingly what you heard. Simply reflect the words
right.
back so that the person knows they've been heard. That diffuses so much, even in an argument with a spouse or a teenager or whatever your situation, an employer.
Yeah.
You know, you when you reflect back and you really acknowledge the other person's stance, they're able to be flexible again. They're able to come out from the corner,
right.
you know. They're not
right.
stuck there trying to defend themselves.
Right, you've given them some doors.
Yeah.
You're right, you've restored them to flexibility, so you've done some healing there, which is good. You've helped all of us. If you've healed one person a little bit, you have helped every
yeah.
single person who's going to come in contact with that person. Yeah.
So I think really, truly, you know, ultimately, like, listening is, like, one of the most powerful sacred practices we can do. And, you know, you've got these monks and nuns and spiritual people that go on these retreats where they are silent for like a month or,
oh,
you know, days at a time or years even, right?
Right?
And there's a reason they do that. It's because suddenly you
right.
find out that really everything you're talking about, everything that comes out of your mouth pretty much is ego. Except, no, it really is. I mean, I really can't
think
of anything that comes out of our mouths that isn't ego.
Right.
Like, help me here,
right.
Stephanie. Is there anything?
No, I'm, yeah. But no, I've never thought of that. I've never
me
given
either.
That thought. That's fascinating. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my
wow.
gosh. Huh, maybe we should all do a retreat together.
We should, yeah. And then, you know, like, we have our scheduled time every week where we do our radio show. So if we were just silent, we wouldn't have much to show, would we?
It would be much fun. I know. This is like a retreat for us, for sure,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got a couple minutes left. I encourage everyone to lean in. That's what I tell everyone, Oceana. I tell
yeah.
my clients and my kids,
lean in.
In instead of backing up, just lean in.
Yeah.
Even if it's, you know, more
softly.
Figuratively than literally. Mm-hmm, yeah. Softly.
Right.
Lean in.
Lean in
even when
with
you're
your ears.
There.
Yeah.
Lean in with your ears, with your spirit.
Practice
yes,
listening
absolutely.
This week, everybody. Just practice really listening. And instead of getting upset when somebody says something, actually get curious instead. You know, just
yeah.
be curious about where that might be coming from as opposed to mm-hmm. taking things personally. It's hard practice,
right.
but wow, is it worth the effort? It's really worth the effort. I'm going to do it. I'm going to really make a point of listening deeper this week and see where
me
that
too.
Takes me. Yeah.
Me too. I think let's all try that.
Mm-hmm.
Our worlds will be very, 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 what's the word I want? It will benefit all of us. It will be good.
It will be more peaceful.
Yeah.
Really? You know, you think if we were just listening and not screaming back, it's going to be at least half as quiet if half of us did that.
It's so true. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm speaking of being quiet. It's time for us, Oceana and Stephanie, to be quiet. So please, everyone,
yes.
find Oceana. Visit Oceana at goddessoceana.com. You can visit me at stephaniepeterson.com. This is Stephanie and Oceana thanking you for joining us on Practical Witchery to talk about the magic of listening. We are so excited to talk with you next week as well. Have a wonderful listening-filled week.
Yes. Enjoy your week, everyone. Thank you. Thanks, Stephanie.
Bye-bye, Oceana. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.